1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's look first at verse 1 and 2. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people and over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, and camel and ass." Go down to verse 10. Between these verses, the battle takes place between Saul and Israel. Verse 10, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." Boy, that's a powerful statement. Oh God, have you ever repented over me? He said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." Oh God, are you sorry that you put me where I'm at? Have I disappointed you, Lord, in such a way? And he said, "For he has turned back from following me." That's the problem in the church worldwide today. We had him and we have turned back from following him. "And hath not performed my commandments." Would you underline that? This is God speaking to the prophet about Saul. Said, "He hath not performed my commandments, and it grieves Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Verse 13, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord." Now remember what God just told him about Saul? Listen to what Saul says first thing to the prophet when he sees him. "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But what did God tell the prophet? He didn't perform the commandment of the Lord. He was the first one to speak, and the first thing that he said is, "I've done everything that God told me to do." And Samuel said in verse 14, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites." Did he say I did? No, "they have brought them from the Amalekites." For, underline this, "the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Verse 21, "but the people took of the spoil." He didn't say he did. He said it's the people that did. He said, "I destroyed all, but the people took this to themselves." Now down in verse 27, "and as Samuel turned about to go away, he," King Saul, "laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned." This is Saul. "I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God." So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. I know I've read more than what I normally do. I'll just give you 3 points off of this, because what I say, I want to say with clarity. I want to say in the face of the enemy. The enemy is not flesh and blood. We discovered that on Wednesday night. A lot of our struggles, a lot of our spiritual battles, a lot of the spirits that plague us is because of what had happened from Exodus 17 when Amalek had come against the children of Israel, God said in his word through the prophet, from generation to generation after that time, the children of Israel would war against Amalek. Now, all of these years that we have studied the life of Saul, we know he was anointed king, but there was a purpose in him being anointed king. It wasn't just to please the people because they desired a king. God would rather that he would have been their king, but he allowed them to anoint Saul. But when he allowed it, he had a purpose and a plan. And the plan was the day would come when that God would give the anointing to Saul, not just to be king, but to destroy the enemy that had plagued them for generation after generation. He said, it ends here, it ends now. This is the end of the curse. So God gave them understanding. God told them not to underestimate the enemy. That's your problem. You're trying to figure everything out, but you underestimate the power of our enemy, the devil. He can do something in your life today that could not only impact you, but impact every generation that follows you until Jesus comes if it's not broken. And some of you are recipients of something that happened years ago, and now it's in your family. And now generation after generation, your family has fought the same stuff over and over and over and over. But there comes a time when God says, I have given the anointing for such a time as this to get free from the curse and to do away with that enemy. It's not a person that God is merely killing here. He's giving us an example. If the thing in your family for years has been worried, and your mama worried, and your grandma worried, and you worry excessively, it was time to kill it. God said, I have called you for this time. And when God calls us for that time, we cannot do what he did. And the problem with it was, he was disobedient. When grace says come out, you've got to get out right then. You can't wait, you can't put it off, you can't linger, you can't tarry. When grace says it's time to come out, you've got to come out right then. You can't wait, put it off, wait until another time, wait until another hour. When grace says get out, you've got to get out then. You can't wait, say tomorrow, next week, next year. God says, I have called you for such a time as this, and whatever you do, don't disobey God. That's the problem. The word gets to you week after week, but you disobey it before you get home. God shows you. God shows me. But we disobey it. The sad tragedy in the life of Saul was he could have killed and had the grace to kill and the power to kill what eventually killed him. You are given the grace of God for such a time as this to kill that thing that is keeping you from enjoying the power and presence of God. The questions that whirl in your mind, God will slay them this morning. He's given grace and power, but you've got to do it now. He disobeyed. And when he disobeyed, the tragedy is he was destroyed by the very thing he could have destroyed earlier. Then we see the denial. First is disobedience, then denial. He denies it in verse 13. He says, I've slain it. I've killed it. Verse 13, he says very plainly, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Did he? No, he was writing his own press release. Pride had overcome him. He said it so long to himself that the first thing he did, he could not come clean with what he had done, so he justified it and he got brazen about it. Let me tell you something about people that disobey God. They'll get brazen. They'll get in your face. They'll get brazen with their sin. Some of you are right now trying to say, how much sin can I do before the pastor looks me in the God-given eyeballs and say, you're out of here. But I got news for you. I don't have to. I don't have to throw you out of here. God's going to get you. You get brazen out. He said, you'll read in like verse 17. He said, when you were young, when you were little, you were put over the heads of the tribe and anointed king. What happened was when you were a nobody, God made you somebody. That's what he's saying. But now you think you're somebody, so God's going to make you a nobody. You're saying, God would not do that to me. God would not allow that to happen to me. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years, the power of God could take flight from you tomorrow. And you never be the same again. And don't fool yourself. Self-denial. He denied it. First he was brazen about it. And then not only was he brazen about it, but then he blamed the people for it. He was the king. He had the authority to say, if you don't kill it, I'll kill you. He had nobody to blame but himself. Look right here. If you're backslid, don't you blame anybody but you. It's nobody's fault. I don't care whether you serve God or don't serve God. I've got to make up in my mind. I need God's power and I need God's anointing more than anything else. And whether you serve God or don't serve God, that's of no relation to my experience with God. You can serve God whether anybody does, everybody does. That doesn't matter. You've got to come clean with God and say, I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to follow him. Quit blaming everybody. You lost the anointing and you want to blame the preacher, blame the deacons, blame the singers, blame the church. You go to another church and it starts all over again. You want to blame everybody. And when you blame everybody and you can't find peace with that, you want to blame God. God loved me. I prayed a prayer and God didn't answer my prayer. And I prayed for healing and God didn't give me healing. Go ahead and lose the anointing over that if you want to. There's some mysteries that I don't understand. But I know one thing. I'm going to a place where there'll be none of that anymore. So I'm not going to blame God. I'm going to bless God. And he says, what? Verse 14, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? Take a deep breath. You ready for this? When you disobey God, anointed people can tell when the anointing comes off you. What you do not kill will tell on you. This is a confirmation to what Samuel already knew about Saul. God had already told him he did not perform it. God let the ox start lowing and the lamb start bleeding. Whatever you've done, you think you've done a good job covering it up, but you can put it in a room, but it'll still scream out, and eventually it will get out. God has blessed you and watched over you until your wrongdoing hasn't been seen by others and known by others. And I'm telling you, you better get it clean today, because if you don't get it clean today, what's been done in secret will be shouted from the rooftop. Eventually, whatever you have done, it will tell on you. You go ahead and keep going through the motions, but the sheep are bleeding. They're telling on you. You used to be on fire, but you're not anymore. I hear the bleeding of the sheep. You used to minister with power. You used to witness to people, but you don't anymore. I hear the bleeding of the sheep. You used to love to go to church. You used to love to worship God. But now you look for every excuse you can. I hear the bleeding of the sheep. It's telling on you. You still go through all of the motions that's there, but it's telling on you. And you can't blame anybody but you. So comes the deceit. See, first you're disobedient. Then you're in denial. And pride won't allow you to do what you need to do. See, you've played the Christian and acted so professional as a Christian, you can't get on these altars and come clean with God because you think you've fooled everybody. It's a deceitful game. Your objective in life is not to fool the preacher and fool the people in the church. But that's exactly what he was trying to do. Two things will happen in your life if you lose the anointing. You ready for this? When Saul said, Samuel, God has rent the kingdom from you and given it to a neighbor. When he gave the word, he turned to leave. And Saul said, oh my, there goes the anointing. And he reached out and grabbed the skirt of his mantle and tore it. The first thing that you'll do when you lose the anointing is you'll try to keep in touch and take hold of somebody else's anointing to make you look good. You'll reach out and grab somebody else's anointing. Some of you, it's been so long since you've been anointed by the Holy Ghost. And the deception of it is this. The deception is because you sit around certain people and because every now and then somebody gets blessed and shakes your hand and because they are overflowing with the Spirit, you try to grab hold of that and hold on to that to keep yourself convinced that you're right with God because I felt something in that servant. But the truth of the matter is it's more than feeling something in the service. It's the change after the service that God wants. God is more concerned about you than a Sunday morning worship service where somebody has been blessed and you're able to catch the spillover from their life and you feel blessed because of it as well. God's concerned about more than that. You try to grab hold of someone else's anointing. And I'm telling you, it's killing anointed people. Because they have to stay up so that you can try to take what they have. I want anointed, but I don't want to read my Bible. I want anointed, but I don't want to pray. I want anointed, but I don't want to study. I want anointing, Lord, and I want understanding. I tell you what, I'll pray 30 seconds for the pastor on the way to work. And maybe he can find something that can help me feel anointed. You take hold of anointed people. Secondly, you try to act like it's all right. Did you catch what he said in verse 30? He said, I want you to turn with me. I know you're leaving, Samuel, but I want you to turn with me so that I can walk out before the people, before the elders. And the elders can see me worship so that they think I still have it. So that they're convinced I'm still all right. That's what I want. See, the problem is some people would rather walk with Samuel than with the Lord because it makes them look good. Today, I'm just, vote me out, get rid of me, do whatever you want to. Some of y'all's fake. Fake as a $3 bill. You're fake. You're fake. I know you're fake. You know you're fake. And the people that's anointed around you know you're fake. But you just want to come and lock hold with somebody and just walk with them a little while to make it look. Well, how do you know I'm fake? Let me tell you how I know. You go through the motions, but there's no power in it. You still wave your hand, but there's no presence of God in it. You wave your hand like this and take it down and pick up your phone and do this. If you're anointed, you can't do that. You can't, would you help me preach? You can't do that. You clap your hands, but there's no power in it. You sing your song, but there's no power in it. The anointing is left. You can't remember the last time that God, when nobody was around, broke your heart, sent you down to your knees, and you wept before God in heaven and said, oh God, who am I that you would allow me to serve you? You live a life that is fake and phony, and the world knows it, and we see it, and you don't want to do anything about it. Fake. I want my own anointing. I want my anointing. I don't want my anointing to hinge on your anointing. I want my anointing. I don't want to have church to have church. I don't want to be just a church person that comes and fills a pew and never experiences the power of God. I want my own anointing. I know you try to fake it and go through it, and you think you've done a good job, but God sees it all. He knows the lies you tell. He knows the deceit in your heart. He knows the sin in your life. God sees it all and knows it all. And if you don't kill it, it'll kill you. That person you're having the affair with, fool us, but they're going to bleat to the world and tell on you. That money you stole, nobody in here knows about it. But the person you took it from, they're going to bleat on you. They're going to tell on you. Oh, God wanted to give us revival, but we've got to kill it. We've got to kill it. The pride, we've got to kill it. The arrogance, we've got to kill it. The fakeness, we've got to kill it. The routine, we've got to kill it. You know the difference. You know when God used to come down on you and your heart was so filled with glory and praise, but now it's just fake. It's a routine. You're going through the motion and there's nothing real. I want to be real before you, God. I want to be genuine, Lord. I want your power on me, God. I know that without your power, we can't see souls saved and people can't be blessed. Oh, Lord, I'm not fooling anybody. You see and you know, and God, I want that. I want that. I want that. Oh, kill it before it kills you. I'm telling you, the anointing's going to turn around and walk away from you this morning. You better latch hold and you better say, I'm going to get my anointing today. I'm going to settle it right now. Today, I'm going to kill my Agag today. This is it. No more time to waste. No more time to put it off. I want God's power. I want it now. Oh, God, don't take it from me and give it to another. Lord, I want it, and I want to keep it, and I want your power more than anything in this world. Oh, oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord, give us what we need today. Send down your anointing, God. Oh, Lord, some are fighting to keep it.
The Lord, the devil can't have it. Slay the enemy today. Overcome the situations that have plagued us for years and years. It's time for me to be genuine before you, God, and repent as I've never repented before, to see a mighty revival come. Kill it, God. Oh, kill it today. Kill it, God. Kill it, God. Kill it, God. Kill it, God. Oh, I thought I was fooling everybody, Lord, but they knew the difference. Lord, they could tell. Anointed people could tell. I was just doing what I wanted instead of what you wanted. But today it changes. I'm killing it. It's done. I'm done with it right now. Slay it. Lord, you give me grace to come out. You give me grace to come out now. Harden not my heart. Lord, if I do that, the anointing can leave, never to come again. I need your fellowship. I need your power. I need you, Lord. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it. I don't know how to be any more plain than what I am today. Some of you just heard your last message before it comes out. You just heard it. It's coming out if you don't kill it today. The sheep is going to bleed if you don't kill it today. You haven't fooled anybody, especially God. I don't know who it's for. It may be for a lot of us, or it may be for one of us, but somebody is getting their last opportunity. It's coming out today. If you don't kill it today, then by this time next week or next month, you'll find out God knew it and God didn't want to tell them, but God took the anointing from me and my disobedience told on me. Told on me. Oh, Jesus. You better kill it. You better kill it. You better kill it. I'm telling you, you thought nobody knew, but God knew. God knew. He knew all about it. You better kill it. Folks are coming. You better kill it. Kill it. You say, well, preacher, people may judge me if I come up there. You're not getting it, are you? Then they've got something they need to kill. If they look at you that way, they've got something they need to kill. I'm telling you, God's trying to spare you and the generations that follow after you heartache and misery and pain, but you've got to kill it now. It's got to be killed now. You can't let the pride go. Kill it. 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 I'm going to kill it before it kills me. Oh God, I went to camp and I got your power. And Lord, now everything's pulling me in every direction. And I'm trying to fool everybody. But I'm not even as close to you as I was at camp. Kill it. Kill it. Am I off course today? Do you think the church of God, the church of the living God, do you think that the church, the people that call themselves the church, not just Rubyville, but around this country now, do you think we have more power or less power with God? I'm telling you, we've got less power with God. And the reason why, we don't want to sanctify anything to God, especially ourselves. Kill it. Kill it. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. Oh God, don't let him lose your power. Oh, in Jesus' name, I beg you, Lord, do a work today. Oh God,
do a work today in our heart. I can't answer for another church, Lord. You put me as pastor of this church. And oh God, we are fooling ourselves and we think we're doing better and getting closer. As a church, we're not, Lord. But we're going to kill it today, Lord. It's changing right now because we don't want you to leave us. And we don't want your power to leave us, Lord. We want the sweet anointing power of the Holy Ghost to fill our hearts and to fill our church. And we're going to make sure it's dead today. Everything that plagues us, that holds us down, it is dead today. Lord, you didn't give it to somebody else. You let us keep it. Oh, thank you, Lord. All because you anointed us for a time like this. Right now. Right now. Oh God. Oh God. It is real. It is real. It is genuine. Oh Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would somebody with the anointing say, thank you, Lord? Oh, would somebody with the anointing say, God, thank you for letting me keep it. Oh, God, thank you for letting me keep it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you that we still have a place that we can worship you in the beauty of holiness. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're no better than anyone else. But Lord, we know the thing that makes the difference is the anointing. And we can't lose the anointing. We need that more than anything, Lord. Oh, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, how I thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you one thing. If you can shout right now, it's real. It's real. When you get beyond all of the show and all the deceit, and suddenly, listen, nobody's preaching, nobody's singing. God's leaning over the banister of heaven, saying, I love you. I still love you. Oh, I'll still use you. I'll still help you. Broken, young, old, a life that has been filled with sin. I'll still use you. Failure after failure. But the anointing hasn't left you. God is saying you repented of that, but now go to the next level. Go to the next level. Kill it before it kills you. I don't care how people take this or don't take it. I'm just telling you. People can see the difference. Most of you, if you work with unsaved people, if you had a moral situation in your life and you went to Christian people and asked them about that moral situation, what is right and what is wrong, 98 to 99% of the time, I'll guarantee you, the sinner will have more of a standard than and conviction than the Christian professing today. you went to them and described the situation, the sinner would say, absolutely not. And the Christian would say, well, now, they may be justified for doing that. Judge not that you be not judged. Who am I to judge anybody? The Word of God judges us. And the Spirit of God judges us. Don't tell me that I'm not on target. Some of you used to run around this place and shout and carry on, and I can't beat you to church 3 times a year now. Some of you, I can't tell you the last time I've seen you take a flying leap in the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, come into your house. Fill us with your glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, tabernacle with us today. Oh, God, waves of glory come down on our soul. Oh, God, break our heart like it hadn't been broken in years. Oh, God, for eyes that have dried up, let tears flow. The world is lost. And, Lord, we can't play church. We've got to be the church. Oh, God, I pray you'll let people see. What I'm preaching is in love. God, I don't want to meet you. And you say, Cal, why didn't you preach what I told you to preach? Oh, God. Oh, God, we need a revival. Give it to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.